All right, maybe we'll just open with a very brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful for all that he means to so many here because he is their Savior. And Father, we're thankful for each and every one who has come to understand the reason Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and they have trusted him. We're thankful for his faithfulness, for the fact that he exists, and Father is there on our behalf and faithful to us each and every day. And so, Father, we do pray as well, if there should be any in our audience this afternoon who are not saved, we pray that they would have an understanding that they need to be saved. There is a need, Father, because of our sin, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we pray that they would trust him even this day. So, Father, we just ask for a blessing downstairs as well for the Sunday school and for all the other meetings announced for this day. We're thankful for the assembly here at Milton, and we pray your blessing upon it and upon each and every one here, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as far as a subject, I understand this meeting goes to 12:30. So this is mostly going to be a teaching meeting for Christians. And the subject that I have chosen for today is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Now, I know some people get a little antsy when they hear that word maturity, especially husbands, because their wives have often said that they're not very mature at times. Or I've been told that a few times. But nonetheless, the scriptures actually talk about spiritual maturity. It's a teaching in the Bible. And it's something that God wants for all of us. Now, just to show you that I'm not grabbing that out of thin air, in Hebrews 6:1, this is the ESV version that I'm quoting, says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity." So that's really, it's something that God wants. You know, we're saved, that's great. And God says we should understand the elementary doctrines of Christ, but we should move on from there. We should make progress in our Christian life, and we should become mature believers. And the word maturity, and that's used in the ESV, but the King James Version would use the word perfection. It really means to raise one's faith to perfection. So God really wants our faith to be perfect. We can never be perfect, of course, right? That's impossible. We're human. We have sinful flesh. We can't be perfect. But God wants our faith to be perfected. And he says it's possible. It always amazes me. God never asks us to do something that isn't possible. So that's what we're going to consider today, is what it means to be spiritually mature. Now, my message here today is really in two parts, and the second part will be in the afternoon. The first part is going to be really to look at characteristics of a mature believer. So we're going to look at the book of James. So if you want to get a head start in finding where we're going to read, we're going to look into the book of James, and we're going to see there six characteristics of a mature believer. And this is my hope, is that when we see what the scripture describes a mature believer to be, I hope you want that. You know, like sometimes you see something and you say, that's amazing. I'd like to be like that. Because we are going to see from the scriptures what a mature believer is like. What they do, how they react, how they behave in certain life circumstances and situations. And I would think if you're anything like me, I have had the privilege in my life of knowing mature believers, people whose faith is very mature. And there have been people in the church that I'm a part of at Lansing. I have seen this firsthand. And it really makes a huge impression on your life when you can look at another believer and you're actually amazed. There's certain things that happen, certain situations that come up, and you're amazed at how they behave. You're just like, wow, that's incredible. I didn't expect that. That's not what I would have done. That's not what I would have said. That's not how I would have handled that circumstance or that situation. So really, I consider myself very privileged and fortunate that I have seen this for myself in individuals. And I'm sure that you are the same here in Milton. I'm sure there are certain individuals here. And you would look to them and say, boy, they really are a mature believer because of the way they behave, the way they act, the way that they react to circumstances. So that's what we're going to discuss in today's meeting. I'd like to look at least six characteristics of a mature believer. And then in the afternoon meeting, there'll be a little bit of gospel in there as well. But I'd like to look in the afternoon meeting as to how we become a mature believer. Okay, because if there's something that you like or that you want, and you say that would be great to be that, then of course the scriptures don't leave us hanging. God doesn't say, I want you to be like this, but not tell us how we can become like that. So the afternoon meeting will be focusing on how a person becomes a mature believer. So for starters, let's look at the book of James. And I'm not going to say too much by the way of opening in the book of James, because I love this book. As a matter of fact, I think this epistle here is probably one of my favorites. I kind of hate to say that. I'm hesitant to say that, because if you ask me how many favorites I probably have a few too many. But this is one book that I love, an epistle that I love, because it's very practical. And I hope one day I'll meet James in heaven and shake his hand, if they do that sort of thing in heaven, and tell him how much I've appreciated this epistle. So we're going to look at the first one here. It's found in James chapter 1, and we're going to read from verses 2 to 4. James 1, beginning at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. So, now, for those that keep track, each of these 6 points start with the letter P. I don't know why I just do that sort of thing. So, anyways. So the first one that we're looking at here, James is talking about when it comes, the time of trial comes into a person's life. Time of trial, a time of testing. And the first little thing we're going to notice here by what James is teaching us here is that a mature believer will persevere through difficulties. They will persevere through difficulties. Now, I want to be very careful and very sensitive when we discuss the subject of trials in a believer's life. Because a trial is a time of testing. And it's something that God does or allows in our life. And the reason I want to be very sensitive about it is because a time of trial can be a time of personal anguish and suffering and sorrow. It can be a terrible time. When another believer is going through a time of trial and a time of testing, I hope we're all very sensitive about what they're going through, because God is allowing that to happen in their life. He has a purpose for it. He has a reason for it. We're given that reason. It says, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. So God is often teaching a believer something. And I really, really hope, because, you know, sometimes you'll hear a comment made like this. Yeah, no surprise why that happened in their life. As if somehow they know. No one else knows why things happen in another believer's life. Nobody knows. And that's not our... That's God's privilege. And God's sovereign understanding as to why certain things happen in certain people's lives. But you see, James is teaching us here that the mature believer perseveres through it. There's a difference. Sometimes if a believer is not a mature believer and they go through a time of trial, a time of testing, sometimes they're like, why me? They might get angry. They might get frustrated. They might get discouraged. They might, you know, like lash out. They might, they might wander away from God. They might do any number of things because maybe they just don't understand that God has allowed it, that God is teaching something. So we notice how a mature believer handles a trial. James tells us, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Now, verse 2 especially, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Joy. Now, once again, I want to be very sensitive speaking about this, but it's almost like what James is teaching us here is that a mature believer is positive when pressure comes. They're somehow positive, and we don't understand that. Like you look at some believers and some tragedy comes into their life and you're going, yeah, they're upset. Yeah, they're sorrowing. Yes, they're feeling pain like any human would, but you go, somehow there's something positive there. Somehow there's something that's not knocking them down. They're not falling apart. Why is that? Well, I think it's because they're a mature believer. Because they understand something that sometimes those of us that might be less mature might not understand, that God is in control. God has a plan. This is a time of trial. And so that's the first one. I don't think we need to say much more, except for the fact that if I were to ask you, do you have any good examples? I always like, when I make a point, I like to think about an example. Sometimes I look for one in my life, but it's great to look for one in the Scriptures. If I were to ask you who remained relatively positive during a time of terrible trial, who would come to mind? Job. Thank you. First one that came to my mind. And you think, boy, what happened to Job in one day, probably less than a day, in a short period of time, is enough trial of a lifetime. Most of us couldn't have handled it in a lifetime. What happened to Job? Lost everything except for his wife. And she wasn't much of an encouragement, because her advice to Job was curse God and die. That's what she suggested he do. But Job lost everything, and most of us would have crumbled. But Job didn't. Job said he looked to God. He still trusted in God, even in his darkest hour. So that's the first one, persevere through difficulty. Now for the second one, let's look to chapter 2. Chapter 2, please. And let's look at, pardon me, verse number 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. So that's a simple thought. Love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. So the second thing I would suggest that James is teaching us about a mature believer, someone who is spiritually mature, is they prefer others over themselves. They prefer others over themselves. Now, if you were to think of another scripture that kind of gives the same sort of teaching, I mean, I think our minds would immediately go to Philippians, maybe chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. And of course, it goes on to explain why we should do this. Let this mind be in you, which was also Christ in Christ Jesus, who is always our great example. So the second point of a mature believer is they prefer others. You ever notice that? Like some people, they just don't walk around thinking about themselves all the time. And you talk about what you're doing in your life and what's going on this week. I mean, just look at their week schedule. Say, what are you doing this week? Oh, well, you know, I'm going here to do this, and then I'm going to go visit Mrs. So-and-so, and then I'm like, they're not busy taking care of themselves, right? They're not. They're happy to serve. That's what they do. That's just what they do. So a mature believer not only perseveres through difficulties, but they prefer others over themselves. So that's a pretty simple point. So the third one, let's look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And let's consider verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, enabled to bridle the whole body. I'm just going to read verse number 2, because if you go on, you notice that that chapter, a very famous chapter, is talking about a very scathing review on the tongue. Very scathing review. Nowhere else in the Scriptures do I think the Scriptures really articulate just how much damage the tongue can do. And so for the third point, I'd like to say is a characteristic of a mature believer, they have power over their own mouth. They have power over their own mouth. They have control over their tongue. A mature believer uses their tongue to encourage. They use their tongue to encourage. A believer who's not so mature often uses their tongue to discourage. And worse yet, you know, there was in World War II, I was just doing a little bit of reading and I stumbled on this little expression. World War II, there was a saying that was commonly said, loose lips sink ships. So maybe some of the elder statesmen here might remember that, loose lips sink ships. Of course, you know, saying the wrong things can have tragic effects, right? Information leaked out into the wrong places could, like, lives could be lost and sinks and ships could be sunk as a result. But you know, a loose tongue can destroy lives, can it? How many people have been offended? How many people have been discouraged? Maybe believers who are going on well might stop going on well, might leave the church just because of a word, because of something said, or how it is said. It's not even what is said. You know, some people seem to think that it's their responsibility to set the rights that are wrong. Well, it's not. Because actually the Scriptures teach very carefully in Galatians chapter 6, it says, it encourages us there, if someone is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. It has to be the right person. You who are spiritual, go restore such a one. And it says, it even recommends how it's to be done, considering yourself. You know, like the way you go talk to someone, if, I mean, problems come into our lives. I've appreciated believers who've come to me when something's gone wrong or awry in my life. I've appreciated it. But I'll tell you what I've appreciated. I've appreciated when it's the right person who came to me. I've appreciated when it was said in the right way. You know, somebody came along and said, yeah, listen, I know that's, I understand. You're like, I understand it's really tough when you're in school and maybe that's an easy thing to fall into. I understand that because it's happened to me. Well, you know, whatever. If it can say it in that way, you go, well, you know, I'm not making me feel so bad. They're not like talking to me like this, like they're up there and I'm down here. You see, a mature believer has power over their own mouth. Now, I'm not going to get into too much about how these things are done. Like I said, that's more of my focus in the second meeting, is how a person becomes a mature believer. So we'll just leave it at that. That the first one, a mature believer, they persevere through difficulties. And that's great. Wouldn't that be wonderful that if when difficulties come in our life, we could persevere through them? They prefer others over themselves. An excellent characteristic. And the third one we looked at was they have power or control over their own mouth. So let's look at the fourth one. And for that one, we're going to look at, stay in chapter 3. And we're going to read a few verses here, starting around verse 14, please. So, James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, did anyone see a word with letter P in our reading? A mature believer is a peacemaker. Is a peacemaker. Now, I don't know about you, but when I put this message together, it spoke a lot to me. Okay, because you know, it's hard not to measure up. If this is God's standard, it's hard not to look at a standard and go, wow, you know, the previous one was about the tongue. You go, boy, do I have power over my tongue? Or do sometimes I say something that I shouldn't say? And you think about that and you say, boy, wouldn't I love to have power over my own tongue, right? That's maturity. A believer who's mature has power over their tongue. They don't say the wrong thing to the wrong person very often. And here we have a peacemaker. Aren't peacemakers wonderful? Aren't peacemakers? Maybe you know someone who is a peacemaker. You just say, you know what? Something's going on and there's a conflict and it's escalating. It's getting out of control. And somebody might just come in at the right time and say, hey, now just calm down. let's just everybody calm down and let's just kind of like figure out how we can work this thing out, right? A peacemaker. The Lord loved peacemakers. What did he say about peacemakers? You know, the word peacemaker is only found once in the Bible. I'm sure you all know where it is, in the Sermon on the Mount. What did the Lord Jesus say about peacemakers? Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Right? So the Lord pronounced the blessing on peacemakers. Because this world is full of wars and confusions and conflicts and difficulties. And the Lord says, hey, blessed are the peacemakers. There are people out there who are peacemakers. And a mature Christian is a peacemaker. Well, where do we get that from James? Just so we're not picking things out of thin air here. What is it? Where do we get that from James? Well, look at verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and so on. You see, it comes from God. You see, a mature believer, clearly, a mature believer, their faith has been developed by God over time. You know, we don't become mature believers overnight. Like, if I were to ask you a question, and I hope by the end of this session here, this meeting, if I were to ask you, first of all, I guess the honest question is to say, do you consider yourself to be a mature believer? And I don't know about others. I don't consider myself to be a mature believer. I'm sure there's a scale of being an infant, you know, when you're newly saved. Spiritual maturity is that process of your faith developing over time until you reach maturity. And that's what God wants. He said, let's leave the elements of the basic doctrines and let's move on to maturity. That's God's plan for your life. He wants us to progress. He wants us to make along the path. Now, you might look at that scale and go, well, where am I? Well, I've been saved for 38 years. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a long time. I should be up here. And I'm not going to tell you where I think I am. But nonetheless, you know, I think we should all desire what God wants for us is to move toward maturity. So one of the characteristics of a mature believer is that they are a peacemaker. Now, if I'm just going to throw an example out. If you had to think of an example of a believer in the Bible who is a peacemaker, who would you think of? I had to think about this one for a few minutes, and then I thought, well, you know, Paul was a peacemaker, wasn't he? Because Paul planted churches, and things didn't go smoothly. There's a lot of problems in the churches. And Paul often was a guy dealing with the problems, right? Paul was like, okay, things are getting out of hand in Corinthians and Corinth, so I think I better deal with it. So how did Paul deal with it, right? Well, Paul dealt with it in a very masterful manner, didn't he? I mean, first of all, Paul would write a letter. First thing he'd do is he followed the teaching in Galatians chapter 6. He first commended them. He said, you know, you're not coming short in any gift, and it's wonderful that you've been saved, and I pray the grace of God upon you. And then he starts systematically, however, we have some issues here, some things we need to deal with. And one of them that he dealt with is in 1 Corinthians 3. And he says to them there, he says that the believers, that you are really babies in Christ. That's what he said to them. You're really babies in Christ. Why? Why did he say they were babies in Christ? Because he said that there was envy and strife and divisions. And why was there envy, strife, and divisions? Well, he said to them, he said, because one of you says, I'm of Apollos. And the next person said, I'm of Paul, right? And Paul's going, and that's what immature Christians do. Immature Christians look to men, right? A mature Christian looks to God. An immature Christian looks to men. Right? They want to look to men to solve their problems. They want to, like, let's us figure this out. You know, like, we got a problem, let's put our heads together and we're going to figure this out. A mature Christian goes, wait a minute, this problem might be more complicated than that. Maybe we have to look to God. Maybe God's the one who's going to help us sort this out. And so Paul says, how did he handle that situation there in 1 Corinthians 3? He said to them, he said, look, who is Paul? Who's Apollos? He said, Paul planted, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He took their focus away. Don't think about Paul. Don't think about Paulus. Focus on God, because he's the one who gives the increase. So anyways, enough said about that. I think that it's pretty clear from James that mature believers are peacemakers. And I think you'd agree with me that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. So let's look at number five. What have we got? 5 minutes, two left. I think we can do it. So number five. And for that, we're going to turn to James chapter 5. I know you're all looking for a P word in there somewhere, right? Okay, so James chapter 5, and let's look at verse 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the earthly and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. All right, what's our P word? Patience, right? Patience. A mature believer is a patient believer. I'm not naturally a patient person. Just ask my wife. But maturity is really, spiritual maturity is about patience. Because we read here that it says, and the analogy used is like the farmer. The farmer works really, really hard, but he can't produce his fruit overnight. The farmer has to wait. What does he wait for? It says that in our little analogy here, our little example, he says he receives the early and the late rains, right? Patience. He has to wait a long time sometimes. And most of us are not patient people. You know, I'm sure most of the believers here know that David and I, we have a brother, Frank, in between us. And 5 years ago, he had an accident that kind of set him back and put him into depression and various things. I won't go into details, but I'm sure most of you know. And, you know, there were some dark days and some dark times. And from a human thinking, it looked hopeless. Hopeless. My mom came back from visiting him yesterday and went with one of my brother's daughters, went up to see him where he's staying. And my mom called me last night, and she was almost in tears, telling me, these are the words she said. She said, my son is back. She said, my son is back. Because Frank, if you went to visit our brother Frank, he wouldn't say two words. 2 years ago, he wouldn't say a word. If you got one word out of him, you're lucky. He didn't want to talk to you. He talked to you because you were there, you showed up, and it has been years and years and years. We all thought, oh, he's had an accident. He'll be fine. You know, he's a tough guy. He's a strong guy. He'll be bounced back in no time. And that's what we all expected. No, it wasn't God's time. It wasn't God's plan. It's been 5 years and he's still not back. There's still issues. There's still a long road ahead. There's still difficulties ahead. This situation is not over. But you see, patience. A mature believer says, look, things look bad. Things look dark. Things look hopeless, but they're not, because God is in control, and we'll just be patient. We'll just pray, and we'll leave it in God's hands. So that's another tremendous characteristic of a mature believer. They are patient. And for the last one, let's look at James chapter 5 as well, and let's look at verse number 16. 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A mature believer is a prayerful believer, right? Prayerful. If there's one thing that can change anything, well, we don't have to say that. We're Christians here. Does anybody here in this room or audience doubt that with God, all things are possible, right? Does anyone really doubt that? No. God, all things are possible. So why don't we talk to him about situations? Why don't we just go to God and say, look, this is too big, too much for us to deal with. We'll just give it to God, right? And a mature believer understands that. And it says here, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You want to know what a mature believer spends a lot of their time doing? Praying. Praying. Because they've gotten past the point of thinking that human beings and committees and meetings are going to fix things, right? Because, yeah, it's important to have committees. It's important to have meetings. It's important to plan. It's important to have a vision for the future. It's important to kind of work things out and to come up with your ideas. But really, at the end of the day, God gives the increase, doesn't he? It's God who blesses. It's God who can really make a difference. And so a mature believer is a prayerful believer. So my time is gone, and I think we've covered all 6 points. And by all means, this is not exhaustive. I think a mature believer, we could probably come up with 26 points, but I just wanted to focus on these few. They persevere through difficulties. They prefer others over themselves. They have power over their mouth. They're peacemakers. They're patient, and they're prayerful. So I trust that if you're like me, you would simply say, yeah, I'd like that. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to? I mean, don't those things, aren't those great qualities? Aren't they great attributes to have? Wouldn't they be useful in your life? Wouldn't they benefit others? Wouldn't they be helpful to the church if we were all like that? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't this be an amazing assembly? Wouldn't our assemblies be better if people had these characteristics? So God wants us to mature. He wants us to progress. And so I didn't deal with the issue of how that happens, but that's the next meeting. So if you want to come to the next meeting, maybe we'll deal with that subject. So we'll just close and give thanks for the food, right? You told me to remember that, so I remembered that. Good, so we'll give thanks for the food too. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the scriptures that are profitable for all things, Father. And we do prayerfully consider the subject that we have thought about this afternoon, spiritual maturity. And Father, we do realize we all fall short. We could all develop further our faith. We could all be more mature than we are. And we pray, Father, that we have a desire to fulfill the will of God in our life and to carry these things out. So Father, we just pray for blessing on the assembly here. Once again, we pray for the Sunday school. We give thanks for the food, for all the kind hands who have worked hard to prepare it for us. And we pray a blessing on the afternoon and the meeting later on. We pray in our Savior's worthy name. Amen.